In the story of Shamika Rishi and Pariksha being cursed, it's all the plan of the Lord, arrangement of the Lord, to bring about the Srimad Bhagavatam. Shamika Rishi. Because he was covered with a deer skin, had matted locks. Pariksha was very thirsty when the king arrived there, probably hunting in the forest, whatever. When he asked the sage for water, the sage was silent, absorbed in spiritual platform, meditation, samadhi. So when the king wasn't welcomed with proper words or offered a seat, water, even kind words, which is the basic requisites when receiving any atithi or guest, once you even have no one has no money, he can offer kind words and a seat and some water. These three things. But that even that was denied. So in response, the king became angry. He took the end of his bow and he picked up a dead snake which was lying nearby, and he hung it like a garland around the sage's neck. So when Sringi was his son, when he came there and he saw that his father was insulted in that way, he said, "Whoever done this will die in 7 days by the bite of a snake bird." Because he used a snake to insult his father. He said, "Okay, not a snake bird. It was a snake which develops wings after 7 years and flies in the sky like a bird. And whoever bites him, I will." Pariksit returned to the palace and began to question his behavior. And he was starting to feel somewhat repentive. Maybe the sage was in samadhi and didn't notice me. He wasn't deliberately ignoring me. So then Pariksit became a little bit repentive upon reflection. He didn't approve of what he did. He felt sorrowful for what he did. He began to wonder whether the sage was just really in trance or pretending so to avoid receiving the king. Repentance comes in the mind of a good soul as soon as he commits something wrong. A very important point Prabhupada mentions. So when we do something wrong and we feel bad, "Oh, I did this wrong thing, Krishna, please help me." Repentance comes in the mind of a good soul as soon as he commits something wrong. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, in his commentaries in Jiva Goswami, says that the king's actions were not due to his past deeds. This arrangement was all made by Krishna just to call the king back home, back to Godhead. What was the plan of Krishna? Why did he do this? What was his plan? Jiva Goswami reveals. Krishna's plan was to inspire Maharaj Pariksit with full detachment and to cause the Bhagavatam to be spoken and to bring the king to him. So these were two things, because a king usually is pretty attached to his kingdom, his position, his kinghood or kingliness, his royal position. So Sringi was actually everything was being arranged by the Lord. So repentance is an issue here, but that was from the king's side. He was repentive for his actions, but the action was all impelled by Krishna. Krishna forced him to do it like that. For three reasons. One, to fill the king with vairagya, detachment. Two, to make an arrangement for the Bhagavatam to be spoken. And most importantly, out of his love, to bring the king back to him. So if you're attached to people in this world and objects of this world, and positions in this world, and facilities and enjoyments of this world, then you can't go to Krishna's world. You stay here. So on one level, of course, he was a devotee, but he also must have been attached. So Krishna arranged for him to become detached, and he became detached by hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam. There's a verse there in the Bhagavatam itself. In the Bhagavatam, in the very beginning of the Bhagavatam, first canto, second chapter, verse 6, Suta Goswami is describing to Shaunaka Rishi and all the sages at Naimisharanya, the power of bhakti. And of course, Shravanam, Bhagavat Shravan, is one of the five most important limbs of devotion, Panchanga Bhakti. So he's saying that, because they're asking, of course, the sages were saying, what is the supreme occupation? What is this paro dharma? There's so many dharmas. There's Patni dharma, Pati dharma, Kshatriya dharma, Vaishya dharma, Brahman dharma, Shudra dharma, Brahmachari dharma, so many ashram dharmas and varna dharmas. There's 20 different dharma shastras that specialize in all the pujas and yagyas and petitions and prayers that one does to various demigods to move peacefully and happily and prosperously within the varnashram dharma. And they're all called dharma. And people often say, I'm doing my dharma. Okay, yes, we can't disagree. But it's not sanatana, it's not the eternal dharma, it's not atma dharma. It's deha dharma, sharira dharma. It's dharma related to your body and your upadhi designation. But bhakti is beyond upadhis. Bhakti is transcendental. Bhakti doesn't function on the level of pati or patni or stri or loka dharma or ashram dharma. Bhakti functions on the level of the atma, atma dharma, the soul. Bhakti is transcendental. So this dharma is most important dharma, because this dharma frees one from upadhis. Sarva upadhi vinirmuktam tat parat dvaina nirmalam rishikesha rishikenam sevanam bhakti uchate. This is told in Padma Puran. On this verse from Bhagavatam 1.2.6, Sutta Goswami explains, what is the supreme duty, the supreme dharma? Because the sages said, there's so many dharmas, and which everyone thinks everyone's so righteous and self-righteous about their dharma. I'm doing my dharma. Hey, what is this, Hare Krishna? I'm doing my dharma. Taking care of my family, feeding my kids, educating them, clothing them. Also, the pig is doing his dharma also. Sewer dharma. He's also educating his little babies how to find stool in the field. And he's also, as they get sick, he also brings some herbs and makes them eat some leaves or some clay, bentonite clay. And he trains them up. So Sutta Goswami says, what is the supreme dharma? Savai pumsam paro dharma. Yato bhakti arhoksaja, arhoksaja, arhoksaja bhakti, arhoksaja. This is Krishna, arhoksaja, beyond the senses, arhoksaja, bhakti. Bhakti is beyond the senses, beyond the mind. It is on the level of the atma. It's transcendental. And what happens when you engage in that supreme dharma? The paro dharma is bhakti, Krishna bhakti. Krishna bhakti is paro dharma, supreme, topmost, transcendental. Para means sublime. Para means transcendental. Para means the supreme dharma. Transcendental dharma. Atma dharma. The dharma, religion, or activities, or occupation of the soul. Here and there and everywhere and all times and all places. Forever, eternally. This is the eternal dharma. Atma dharma is the eternal dharma. You may be Patni now, or next life dog. Or next life Pati. Or maybe Brahman now, but by misbehavior you become Shudra. And you engage in Shudra dharma. Savaipam samparo dharmo yatto bhaktir hokshaje ahoituki apratiyata yatma supersedati. Sutta told, the parodharma is adhokshaja bhakti. The supreme occupation or dharma for all humanity, pumsa means mankind, human beings, is that by which men can attain loving devotional service unto the transcendental Lord. Such devotional service must be unmotivated and uninterrupted to completely satisfy the self. Ahoitu means cause, and ahoitu or ahoituki means no cause. Napratiyata means without break. Yatma supersedati. The Atma becomes supersidi, supersedati, becomes super satisfied. Supra means super, and sedati means satisfied. Supersedati. Yatma becomes completely satisfied. By this, by all other dharmas, the Atma can never become completely satisfied. It only appeases the temporary demands and pushings of the body and the various upadhis that one is designated in. So, this is the supreme dharma. So, although the king was repenting, by his example, because he repented, but he accepted this as good news, because it would cause indifference towards worldly things, would create detachment, vairagya. And this is what Krishna wanted, and that's what he needed. So as far as Krishna creating vairagya, or detachment, it's an act of mercy towards his devotee, Parikshit Maharaj, because Parikshit was a devotee of Krishna from his birth. He was the same color as Krishna, blue. He's always searching for Krishna. Where is Krishna? Parikshit. He saw Vishnu in the womb of Uttara when Ashwatthama tried to kill him. That story's there. So Parikshit, he was examining. Pariksha means examine. He was always examining, looking for that person he saw in the womb. He's a great devotee from his childhood. So just to create the fulfillment of his search for perfection, the Lord created the situation out of his causeless mercy. Because generally, we're making the point that kings are not very detached. They have so many queens and so much facility for eating and enjoying women and prestige and all the things that are enemies to the spiritualist. Lobha, puja and pratishtha and everything. So Prabhupada often quotes a verse. There's one story, Prabhupada tells it like this, a story of Narada Muni. He once met some different people in a kingdom. He met a king and a brahmachari and a sadhu and a butcher. And they asked for benedictions, so he gave them different benedictions. He said, Rajaputra Chiranjiva. Rajaputra Chiranjiva. Oh, Rajaputra means the son of the king. They say Yuvaraj. Sometimes you've heard this term, Yuvaraj. Rajaputra. Putra means son, Raj means king. Oh, prince in English. May you live a long life, Chiranjiv. Chiranjiv means you live very long, practically forever. Then Brahmachari, Rajaputra Chiranjiva, Ma Jiva Muniputraka. He says brahmachari, means sage, sadhu. You may die now. Ma jiva muni putraka, O muni putraka, O son of a muni. Oh, okay, there's a rajputra and a muni putra. A muni putra is the son of a muni. So he's a brahmachari. He's not a small muni, baby muni, child muni. Ma jiva means na jiva. You don't live. Jiva va maro sadhur. And, O saintly person, sadhu, devotee, Vaishnava, you can live or die. Va means or. Jiva or maro, you can live or die. Jiva va maro sadhur. Ma jiva mara iti. Mara iti. Ma jiva mara iti. And mara means, there's no apparent Sanskrit for this, but Prabhupada said, oh, butcher, don't live or die. And Prabhupada always quotes this, Rajaputra Chiranjiva Ma Jiva Muniputraka Jiva Vamaro Sadhur Ma Jiva Mara Iti. O saintly persons, do not live or die. But somehow Prabhupada, in English he would say, and he would tell the story. So then they would all ask, oh, what is this blessing? I'm the son of the king, Rajaputra. And you're saying I should live a long life? Well, that's very nice. Yes. You should live a long life because you're a king and you're attached and you're enjoying so much low puj pratishtha, mitun and bog and rajbog and everything. Because when you die, you'll go to hell and suffer because of all your sins and neglect of shastra and brahmas and improper behavior. Because like Manigriva and Alukovara, they were Rajaputra. They were the sons of Kubera. Kubera was a great king, and he was, of course, the treasurer of the demigods, and they became proud. And they're naked, standing naked in front of Narada Muni, and intoxicated, enjoying naked women in a lake. All these things are forbidden. So he cursed them to become trees. That's also the punishment. So Narada Muni is a little more generous to the king. He said, you're enjoying to live a long life, because when you die, it's finished. You go to hell and see Yamaraj and suffer so much. Then Brahmachari, you may die now. You're son of the Muni, and you've done so many austerities, and now your life is pure and properly. You're Brahmachari. You're moving in Brahman. You're meditating in Brahman. So you die now. It is good. You'll get promotion. And then the sadhu, you can live or die. Because you're a devotee, you're a sadhu. Sadhu means that you're tatikshva karunika, srida sarvadehana. You're tatikshva karunika, you're very merciful and compassionate. If you live, it's very nice, you'll benefit so many others if they see, have your darshan. It's pavitra darshan just to see the sadhu. And if you die, you get perfection because you're thinking of Krishna. So if you live, it's very good for others. And if you die, it's very good for you because you'll join your Lord. But the butcher, you don't live or don't die. You should not live or die. Ma jiva mara iti. Because it says jiva vamara sadhu. And this is ma jiva mara iti. Doesn't have the word for word. Which is ma jiva, don't live or die. Here it says jiva ma varama. So there's no Sanskrit, but the Prabhupada translated, butcher, you should not live. Oh, why are you giving me this blessing? I should not live and die, or die? This is very interesting. Because while you're living, you're up to your knees in blood, engaged in a horrible, ghastly activity, so much viciousness and cruelty and lack of compassion for others, slaughtering all these animals. And if you die, oh my Lord, you'll suffer so much. You'll be, for every hair on the cow's back, you'll be reborn as a cow and slaughtered for every cow you've killed. So one cow has 3 million hairs, 10 million hairs. So you'll take birth 10 million times as a cow and be slaughtered 10 million times. This is the punishment in the Puran. So you should not live. It's very ghastly. And you should not die because it's worse. So you're in limbo. So the king is being mentioned here, Rajaputra Chiranjiva. You should live a long time because... So Krishna was saying that, Parikshit, you need to be detached. So this is the favor of the Lord. This is real mercy, real boon and benediction. That Krishna brings his devotee to him with the greatest speed by all different arrangements. So many fantastic arrangements. So though the pious King Parikshit regretted his accidental improper treatment of the powerful Brahmin who was faultless, such repentance is natural for a good man like King Parikshit. And such repentance has a very power. There's great power in repentance. What is the power in repentance? Feeling sorrowful, feeling contrition, feeling bad, feeling low and humble and forgiving, or begging for forgiveness about one's activities. Such repentance delivers a devotee from all kinds of sins accidentally committed. This is the power of repentance. You get delivered. Devotees are naturally faultless. Accidental sins committed by a devotee are sincerely regretted. So how does it work? You did a sin, it's a sin. Sin means reaction. Go to hell or whatever. Go to hell or suffer in next life or in this life. So how does it work? How do you get free, delivered? You get delivered by Kripa, from Bhagavan Kripa. By the grace of Krishna, all sins unwillingly committed by a devotee are burnt in the fire of repentance. Like the Christians talk about, repent, sinners repent. Sinners repent. They carry placards and posters in cities, encouraging people to turn to God. So this is a very nice point here that's being made about Krishna's mercy and repentance. So this brings us to another discussion, that why do devotees suffer? Our shastras say that one suffers because of sins. Papa karma, papa fal. Papa fal, suffering. Mental suffering, physical suffering, emotional suffering. It's all due to sin, disease, mental disturbance. So then punya karma, then punya fal, enjoyment, janmaishvarya shruti shibir. You get wealth, good birth, high class family, beauty, intelligence, Shruti Shri and Bir, and strength. Janmaishvarya Shruti Shri Bir. So the devotee chants the holy name of the Lord and chants Namabhas, which is the second stage of chanting. And it's a clearing stage and becomes liberated from all sins. So he has no more sins. Prabdha karma is eliminated. So then how does he suffer? He shouldn't be any more suffering. Maybe you may get initiated, maybe chanting, but not chanting, still chanting in Nama Parad or Seva Parad or Vaishnava Parad or Dhamma Parad or Jiva Parad. and anarthas are there, and if aparadhas are there, then the holy name is acting, but not giving its full reciprocation. Like the sun is shining and it's light, even when the clouds are there, but you're not getting the full light of the sun. When all the clouds move out of the sky, then you get the full power. So any contact with the holy name gives reaction, gives benefit. But the full benefit is not shining on the heart because of the blocking from our side. On the other side of the clouds, there's no blocking of the sun. So on the holy name side, it's all purity. It's all perfection. But we're blocking it. The sunshine is coming from the sun, full. It's not like, oh, cloudy day, oh, the sun has turned down the sunshine. He's only sending 10% of his sun today. Or it's a heavy monsoon and the whole sky is covered in dark blue clouds. You can't, it looks like dark, like nighttime, like late afternoon. That's from our side. You go a few thousand feet in the sky and it's brilliant. So just on the other side of the clouds of anarthas is the brilliant light of the sun of the holy name. So this holy name, so then the argument can be presented, well, how is it that devotees, even great devotees, what to speak of little devotees or aspiring devotees like ourselves, how is it they suffer? Maharaj Parikshit, Maharaj Ambarish, Ranti Dev, the Pandavas, Kunti Devi suffered so much, and Draupadi suffered so much. Maharaj Chitraketu and countless other exalted devotees, they have undergone tribulation. That to ordinary people, this is unnecessary. What are they doing? They were pure devotees. And what to speak of Namaparad? When they chanted the Lord's name, they chanted Prem Nam. So why should Krishna's devotees suffer so severely? It's natural to ask this question. Then we have to consider, what is the answer? Obviously, the immediate answer, it's all the plan of Krishna, and devotees submit to that and wait for the mercy of the Lord. This is the general response. All right, Krishna, you're doing this. I accept it. It's your will. And I'm not going to stop my service to you. Tateno kampam shishimikshimano banjane vatmana kritam vipakam. That is there. Like Brahma's prayers. Devotees accept it. The mercy of the Lord. So this same question was asked by Bhishmadeva. Bhishmadeva is a great devotee of Krishna when he's lying on the bed of arrows in Mahabharata. He said, he asked Krishna himself directly. Bhishmadeva, actually he answered the question with simple words. I don't remember who was asking the question. Someone was asking the question. He said, actually, no one can know the plan of Krishna. Even though great philosophers inquire exhaustively, they are still bewildered. Why? Why do bad things happen to good people? One Jewish rabbi wrote a famous book with this title. He was a good person. He was just a little boy. He was only 3 years old and he got run over by a truck. What did he do? What did he do? He was innocent. Oh, really? Last life, you don't know. He was a truck driver. He came through the same village and ran over a kid. What's up? Oh, eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. They don't even know their own Bible, which talks about karma. So foolish. So what do the devotees do? They accept everything as Krishna's plan. And they teach others by acting for Krishna's pleasure in all circumstances. Even if they're suffering, they're dying, they still speak about Krishna, remember Krishna, chant his name. And everyone looks, he's not giving up his Lord, he's not forsaking his Lord, he's not feeling revengeful or hateful to Krishna. Why, hey Krishna, why are you doing this? Okay, I become an atheist. Many people did like that. Prabhupada said in World War II, when the German soldiers were in the field, then the Catholics or Christians, whatever, the wives went to the church and they prayed, oh God, please bring our husbands home from the battlefield. And they didn't come home. Many of them, of course, they died. And when so many of them died, then all the wives became atheists. And they said, oh God, you're a bum. You're lousy. You didn't answer our prayers. And they don't know the higher plan. So people become like that. They have faith in God. Sometimes you meet people like this. Oh, I don't like Krishna. Krishna's bad. Krishna's doing bad thing to me. Are you going to the temple? No, I used to go to the temple, but now Krishna, my business has failed. I don't like Krishna anymore. They say it like this. They often meet. So they're actually really not devotees. They're just businessmen doing business with God. God is supposed to be their order supplier, fulfill all their whims and wishes. But devotee, real devotee, he does not see anything or any event as happening separate from the mercy of Krishna. So if one has this vision, he becomes qualified to go back home, back to Godhead. Of course, that's the verse. That famous verse is there. Prabhupada is very fond of that verse from the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam. It's Brahma's prayers, glorifying devotees in general. Glorifying the devotees, how they're so steadfast in any kind of setback. 10th canto, 14th chapter of Brahma Vandanam. This is verse 8, very famous verse, 10:14:8. Prayers of Lord Brahma to Krishna after Krishna embarrassed him in the Brahma Vimohan Leela. And Brahma came to his senses and started offering very, very beautiful prayers in chapter 14 to glorify Krishna. And the basic principle is that devotees accept all apparent obstacles and difficulties as benedictions. Oh, what a blessing. The environment is always friendly. Devotees never complain or blame the Lord. Oh, God, that's what this person is doing. So many people would blame. Oh, Krishna. I used to worship Krishna, but look what he's done. My wife left me, my house burned down, my kids became drug addicts. I don't believe in Krishna. Krishna doesn't exist. He exists. Why he did all this? They become like this. Very thousand people become atheists overnight. Tateno kampam sushimik shimano banjana itva evatmana kritam vipakam ridvagva pubir vidadam namaste jivete yo mukti pade sadayabak. One who accepts your mercy, Sri Krishna. One who accepts as your mercy the reaction of his own karma and sins, enduring it with an undisturbed mind, while continuing to practice devotion by offering himself unto you with his body, mind, and words, such a person is eligible to attain your lotus feet, which are the shelter of liberation. Another translation. One who, in the hope of achieving your grace, goes on enduring the inauspicious fruit of his own karma. Kritam vipakam. And passes his days practicing devotion unto you through every thought, word, and action. Rid, vag, vapur, bir, vidadan, namaste. Rid means heart or mind. Vag means words, and vapu means body. Vidadan. Vidadan means offering. He tolerates everything, and he keeps serving Krishna with his thought, word, and action. Such a person is heir, or he inherits, the land of freedom and attains your lotus feet. Some acharyas say that this shloka by Lord Brahma, of course, is the head of our sampradaya, Brahma Madhva Sampradaya. He's the Adi Guru. I mean, the Adi Shishya, I could say. The Adi Guru, of course, is Krishna or Vishnu. Some acharyas say this shloka should be engraved on our hearts in gold. And if you understand this shloka, you will never get angry. Because you can never get angry with your environment. Or you can never get angry with your college. You can never get angry with your parents. You can never get angry with your relatives. You can never get angry with your mind. Or never get angry with your body. Or never get angry with any situation or circumstance you're put in. Why? Because it's all the perfection and perfect arrangement of Krishna. You see Krishna's hands in everything. Accept everything as favorable for Krishna's service. The environment is always friendly. You'll never get angry. You get angry because you don't see Krishna. Krishna is Satchidananda. He's blissful, joyful. He's free from all anger. You see in Bhagavatam, when it's describing Krishna killing demons, he's smiling. He's not all bent, his mouth is not all bent out of shape. He's wearing a flower garland. He's just smiling. He raises chakra and just... It's not all, he doesn't, they say all kinds of foolish things, all the demons, Shishupali, utter so many profanities and obscenities and blasphemies. He just smiles, tolerates everything, smiles, and dispatches them to Yamaraj. So Krishna's never angry. So how can Krishna's devotees ever be angry? They're angry with the demons or with the Ravanas and the Hiranyakashipus or the demons that try to harm the Lord or harm the devotees. Then anger can be used. But they're never angry. The only anger a devotee can utilize with outside of those circumstances against atheist demons or offenders to devotees of the Lord is anger against himself. Oh, why am I such a bad devotee? Why am I so lazy? Why am I not enthusiastic? Why have I no taste for Shastra? Why have I no taste for the holy name? So this type of anger can be directed this way. So the conclusion of this verse is that one should realize that the environment is always friendly. So there's three basic rules for practicing bhakti. One comes from the first verse of Nectar Instruction, Vacho Vegam, Manasakrota Vegam. What does that mean? Control the Vegam of the Vach. Sri Bhagavanu Vacha. Vacha, Vak. Vacha means speech. Vacho Vegam. Vegam means pushing, urge, inclination. So how do you do that? So this is the first rule of bhakti. Never criticize. Vacha Vegam. Never criticize. And the second one is never complain. The second one. And what's the second of the basic rules? Tateno Kampam means tolerance. Never complain. As Sridhar Maharaj would often humorously rephrase this shloka, a good workman doesn't quarrel with his stools. And the phrase, there's a phrase in English that a good workman, say a carpenter, he doesn't quarrel with his tools, his saw and his hammer and his drill. If something is, oh, what is this saw? Hey, saw, why you cut this wood wrong? Hammer, why you didn't hit this nail? He doesn't complain. So a good devotee doesn't, so a good workman doesn't quarrel with his tools. This is his byproduct. His tool is his byproduct. So he made a joke on that. So kritam vipakam means our stools, our byproduct. So a good devotee doesn't quarrel with his byproducts. Kritam vipakam, which is the results of his bad activities. Vipakam means the caused by my misdeeds. So if I cut the wood wrong, I can't. Hey, saw, why you cut the wood wrong? No, I measured wrong and I cut the wood too short. It happens sometimes. He goes to put it somewhere. Oh, it doesn't fit. So the devotee never complains. Tateno kampam. And the third principle is never stop chanting. Srinadapi sunichena kirtaniya sadhari. And these are three basic rules for practicing bhakti. So this was the position of Parikshit, and he became very tolerant. Okay, this is happening. It's the mercy of the Lord. He accepted everything as Krishna's plan. My dear Lord Krishna, Brahma said, one who earnestly waits for you to bestow your causeless mercy upon him, all the while patiently suffering the reactions of his past misdeeds, and offering you respectful obeisances with his heart. Vridvag vapubir vidadan namaste. Words and body is surely eligible for liberation, for it has become his rightful claim. So we must always be fully dependent on Krishna and bow down and accept his plan with a humble mind, even if we are unable to comprehend or understand it. How is this? Why is this happening? How is this happening? Oh, anyway, it's happening. Hare Krishna. When something is arranged by Krishna, one should not be disturbed, even if it appears to be reverse, according to his calculation. Sometimes we see that a powerful preacher is killed. Sometimes he's put into difficulty, as Haridas Thakur was. He was a great devotee who came into this material world to execute the will of the Lord by preaching the Lord's glories, a parishad. But Haridas was punished at the hands of the Qazi by being beaten in 22 marketplaces. Jesus Christ was crucified. Prahlad was put through so many tribulations. The Pandavas were direct friends of Krishna. They lost their kingdom. Their wife was insulted. They had undergo severe tribulations. Seeing all these reverse effects, seeing all these reverses affect devotees, one should not be disturbed. One should simply understand that in these matters, there must be some plan of Krishna. The conclusion of the Bhagavatam is, the devotee is never disturbed by such reverses. He accepts even reverse conditions as a grace of the Lord. One who continues to serve Krishna, even in the face of all these calamities, obstacles, obstructions and setbacks, or reverse conditions, is assured that he will go back home, back to Godhead. We may be disturbed by some material condition, but if we approach the authority who can actually explain the matter, then our problem will be solved. So the demigods are they're often confused about their situation when the demons kick them out or take over their planets. So then they approach Brahma, and then he explains the meaning of the disturbance. And after hearing him, then they were happy and peaceful and went back. So we may be confused about something happening in our life. So then we approach the spiritual authority, some suitable qualified Shiksha Guru or Diksha Guru, senior Vaishnavi or Vaishnava, and say, why is this happening to me? Why? And then we can hear some philosophical description and possibly get our bearings and become balanced, equipoised, and enthused to continue serving the Lord with sincerity and steadiness. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.